Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose, Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals. A political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
Verse. I like the way you grow with no pesticides. I got to box it up. Yeah. I like the way you grow with so locally. I got to box it up. I like the way you grow with no GMOs. I like the way you twerk it. No diggity, no doubt.
We've got squash and peas, calling it a pack for all your bees. Melons you wanna squeeze? Yes, please. Yes, please. Hey, now that plant looks good.
2014.
Search YouTube for Freaks of the Garden. Peacefulbelly.com. Support your local organic farmer.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal. But something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
You're an activist. You have a cause and an idea, but you also have lots of questions. You need help. After all, teams have coaches, corporations have consultants, and even politicians have campaign managers. But who do activists turn to? The Solutions Institute. We are a collection of professionals and activists from across the political spectrum. Our goal is to teach, motivate, and put all the necessary tools for activism in your hands without charge. Learn more or submit your project at solutions-institute.org.
Vaccines are required for students, employees, immigrants, military members, and international travel. Do you know how to legally avoid them? This is vaccine rights attorney and Freedomizer radio host Alan Phillips. My vaccine exemption ebook can help you avoid the mistakes that have cost others their exemption rights. Get the authoritative guide to vaccine legal exemptions, an ebook available at freedomizerradio.com and vaccinerights.com.
Let freedom ring throughout the land.
As men who believe in the teachings of Jesus Christ, and as citizens who love and strongly support our country, we strive to be the embodiment of these high callings, and we are devoted to standing against the forces that are actively warring within and without our once great nation. Jesus Christ is the only hope for this land, and history notes the great men of our nation who walked in his ways, causing America to be a city set on a hill for all to see, an example of the blessing of a God-fearing nation. George Washington once said, "The propitious smiles of heaven can never be expected on a nation that disregards the eternal rules of order and right, which heaven itself has ordained." Sadly, we have been subdued, and Washington's warning is darkness covers our land and the corruption of government spreads, enabled by the complacency of the governed. We are its last defense. We are the resistance, and we are Christians and patriots. Join us every Thursday at 7:30 here on Freedomizer Radio with Christian Patriots.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance, available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Does the media ever deceive the public?
A white plane, a very big jet, was flying an unusual pattern near the White House over Lafayette Park. Very slowly, it made one circle and then...
Are the media and their sources trustworthy?
New York State and New Jersey will get their first doses of the swine flu vaccine.
The H1N1 virus has made thousands of people across the country sick. Many have died. And some worry that it could grow into a full-blown pandemic.
Where does our mainstream media get their news?
All this enjoyment is brought to you by all the things sweetened with NutraSweet.
There's a reason why we want to own these guns.
We're going to have to come together and take meaningful action to prevent more tragedies like this.
That was President Obama Friday suggesting it is now time to reopen the national debate on gun control.
The media tends to march in lockstep with the government.
Who is responsible when the media fabricates the news?
When the public is constantly fed messages that are potentially leading us into a war that may not be necessary, it's not fair to the American people, and it's not fair to journalism, because the truth isn't being told here. We found out that CNN International is actually making money from the Bahrain regime. They are a customer of Bahrain. Bahrain is paying CNN International to create content that shows Bahrain in a favorable light, to then air that content on CNN International.
Join us online at williamlewisfilms.com. That's williamlewisfilms.com.
Problems with Common Core, I don't even have time to go into most of them, but a step in the right direction would be to give local communities, teachers, parents control over their schools so they can design curriculums and standards to best meet the needs of their students and get the federal government out of education.
Welcome to the Barefoot is Legal radio show. I'm joined today with Tony Prost. Tony, how are you doing today?
I'm blessed. How are you?
Doing well. Ready for a good show. A lot of good information. Looks like we've had a lot of activity this week on the site. So I think we can jump right into it. During this week, we were discussing there was, quite a few posts about going barefoot in church. What are your thoughts on that, Tony?
Well, as we know, that when Moses was told to remove his sandals, there are several scriptures that refer to sandals. And one particular that gets me is David went up to the Mount of Olives and he wept, and his head was covered and he walked barefoot. And then we have references to where John the Baptist says, "For I am unworthy to untie the thong of his sandals." But as far as our feet in a church, I mean, they should, I mean, if you're going to represent the church as God's holy house, then you should have the same respect as, you know, God requested of Moses, for this is holy ground. For, I mean, if you walked into God's house, into his area, you would remove your sandals. So what's the difference between a church if it's supposed to be his house?
That's a good point. Have you ever had any challenges in that respect?
No. But then again, most I have been asked to leave churches, and but it's not because of my bare feet.
Okay.
That is a correction, or you know, something I'd have to reprove or correct or what have you, on other issues. But it was not ever due to bare feet.
Okay, but yeah, I agree. Though it's not something that should be an issue. Somebody's, especially if somebody's doing it to be respectful, that way it's not something they should be kicked out of church for.
Now, I've heard of people being banned from churches and everything simply for not paying tithes. So some of these churches today are just really extreme. There is, what was that? Where was that? A dress code. You know, some churches have doctrines, not doctrines, but they have this thing that you have to sign, membership or what have you. And in some of these churches, they literally go so far to tell you that you wear the best that you have on Sunday, not your average casual or what have you. That they want to go so far as to dictate how you even dress when you come to church. Now, what if you only have one shirt and one pair of shoes? How are you going to dress then? Because
yep,
we see, you see, whenever Jesus called them out, Matthew 10, when he sends them out and he tells them, do not take a travel bag. Do not take an extra shirt. Do not take a pair of shoes. I mean, what they had on is what they went with.
Very good point. But I have seen there have been. Go ahead.
I was going to ask you what your point was, what your view was.
Again, I don't think it should be an issue. I think sometimes, you know, a church, like many other social places, turns into more of a club, you know. kind of your, you were mentioning the dress codes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
Really, no purpose was supposed to be. So, but a lot of things do tend to from their original purpose. But no, I don't think it should be an issue. I think somebody should make their best attempt to be presentable, clean, you know,
mm-hmm.
respectful, that kind of thing. But not. As long as they're doing that, I don't stick to the issues.
Yes, it's just need to be considerate as far as, you know, the person's circumstances and everything, and not say, oh, well, you should really dress this way. The person doesn't have the means to be able to dress that way, then we should take in consideration their best available means. But also understand that in a lot of these churches, it seems more like it is more of a safe face thing. It's to go to see who's wearing what or who's sitting with who or what have you, and it's not really about hearing the word of God.
Right. That's what I was mentioning earlier about the social part of it. And again, when you mention wearing the best, even if somebody has, let's say, a pair of shoes and their choice is to go barefoot because to them that's better, that shouldn't be an issue either.
No, I think it's a sign of respect. If you enter my house, your shoes are coming off. If your shoes don't go, then you're not walking through my house. And there have been people, say like a cable guy, whenever he came in, well, it was inconvenient for him to remove his shoes. So what he did is he asked me, and I didn't even have to ask him. Okay, this gentleman was just so polite. But I guess whenever he walked in, he could see, you know, it was obvious or what have you. And he politely asked, he goes, excuse me, ma'am. He goes, I need to come in here and look at this one section. He goes, but I'm going to need to go right back out. He goes, but would you mind if I wear plastic bags over my feet? So that he didn't have to remove his shoes only to have to put them back on. You know? And
right.
I got him some plastic bags and he put them around his shoes. You know?
Yeah, which makes
people,
sense. It's nice that he asked.
Yeah. I mean, people need to be respectful of others. And like whenever I tell the children, you know, like, if you go to my bathroom, I don't care how your mama lets you go to the bathroom in your bathroom, but you're going to sit down. Okay? The same thing is you're going to take your shoes off. And they ask why. And I'm like, unless you want to be cleaning it, you're going to go by my rules because I'm the one that has to clean it. And typically the kids just catch right on. But since, you know, most places like here, the kids have caught so much on that they even forget that whenever they go home, they leave those shoes behind, and then their mamas are having to call me. Is Nicholas' shoes over there? Is Gracie's shoes over there? And Gracie at one time had like four pairs of shoes over here because her mom would send her out of the house with the shoes on. But, of course, she comes to Aunt Mommy, well, she calls me Aunt Tony or Mom sometimes. But anyway, she comes over here, and they get pulled off out the front door. And then she doesn't think anything else about them.
Maybe she'd recommend to her mom to just leave them at home. If she's going to come home without them anyways, why?
I'm just like, okay. I mean, that's a common occurrence. And Parker, can you take the shoes over to Miss Kiki, please? But like today, they didn't. I don't think they even wore shoes over because I haven't seen shoes. And if they did wear them over, they must have put them in the closet or something because I didn't see the shoes.
Maybe they're catching on.
And then Zoe, she came over and she's standing in the front door. She's not even walking in the house because she didn't want to take her shoes off. And I'm like, you're lucky I even allowed you to walk through my threshold. So, but the same respect goes for God's house, you know. When it's not your house and it's not your thing, I mean, it shows a lot about how we hold someone in regards as to how we're going to respect.
I agree. So this week, one of the things we discussed is places that we have went barefoot and if we've had any challenges or not. So if you'd like to start up, and then I'll follow up with mine.
Okay.
And if there's any funny stories that go, sometimes there are, sometimes eventful, uneventful, but always fun to just.
Well, I only got out of the house once this week, so I'm not one to get out of the house much. I only got out once. We went. Oh, no, I take that back. I went to TJ Maxx Thursday. So Thursday I went to TJ Maxx and Martin's here in Virginia. Barefooted both times, no issues, nothing. And then yesterday we went to Chick-fil-A, then we went to Costco, and then we went to Walmart. And no issues. We had a few people look at us. My husband had his shoes on, but me and the kids were clear barefoot.
Good deal. And when you went to, did you say Marshall's was the other place?
TJ Maxx.
TJ Maxx. Mm-hmm. Were you by yourself at that point?
No, John, Parker, and Brianna, would have been with me. And
Okay.
PetSmart. PetSmart is another place I do not have an issue. I mean, they do not say anything at all.
Good.
One of the things I like about TJ Maxx is Marshalls and Home Goods. Is, you know, I can even take the dog in there. So if we're out and about, say, like if we've gone somewhere and the dog is with me, then I don't have to worry about leaving her in the car or anything. I can just put her in the buggy. But I don't let her walk the ground, you know. And I've had other dogs that I've had with me. Yeah.
Do you know if that's something they allow all over the place, or is that just unique to your area? Or I've never heard that one before.
I've not had any issues anywhere. But I've taken in all kinds of rescue dogs. So well, I'd be out and about, and I'll find an animal in need, or it would find me, or I'd have one that I'd, you know, was taking to get looked at, or, you know, whatever the issue is. And, you know, some of them, like Rascal, he was maybe 2.5 pounds. He would, you know, literally fit in my purse. So some places I just put him in my purse, and then people didn't even know that he was even there. But with TJ Maxx and Lowe's and HomeGoods, are the main places that I go. I've gone a few times to Marshall's. That it's one of those, I get out and I'm like, oh, yes, I need this. I forgot. I need to get this before I go home. So instead of making another trip, I just go ahead and get it done while I'm out. But they don't complain. I even ask. I'm like, well, I'm just not leaving him in the car. You know. And they're like, oh, no, he's fine. You know, just put him in the buggy. He'll be fine.
Good. As you know,
so
I'm an
they don't say anything.
Well.
Oh, yeah. When we had our house in Texas, my husband's one request whenever he deployed was that he did not come home to a zoo. He knew I was
feeling.
And he came home from work one day and there was a horse in the front yard. And I said, don't worry, honey. I didn't find it. It's not staying. It's just visiting.
Just visiting.
And he was like, okay. I'm like, it's just Comanche. He's fine. But you should have seen it. I had one of my neighbors driving down the street, and they almost took out my mailbox because they couldn't get over the fact that there was a horse in my front yard. So.
Yeah, I don't have any
horses,
but a friend of mine does.
Well,
she has 2 horses, 3 bobcats, which she has to have legal permission for, and she does, and a whole range of other animals. We have 10 ourselves, but again, being in pet rescue, that happens very quickly.
Yes, it does, and we lived right outside of city limits in Abilene, Texas. And the no-kill shelter stayed full. There was not ever enough foster homes or anything else. So I'm like, okay, well, I'll do what I can. But there's times that you find puppies, you know, out by dumpsters, and they're holding on to the last breath and their last heartbeat. So I come to the vet, and the vet's like, there's no hope. He was like, I can't find a vein. He goes, they're not going to make it through the night. He goes, we would have found them sooner. You know, too bad we didn't find them sooner. And I'm like, okay, well, you say that. But I'm not giving up. So I took him home, and I nursed him, and then did food droppers and just dropped, you know, goat's milk and stuff in their mouth. And at the time, I was using Limu Original. So I gave him some Limu. And within 24 hours, they were able to hold their head up. And they're estimated about 10, 12-week-old puppies at this time. But they were literally skin and bone and holding on to their last breath, barely breathing, could barely open their eyes and everything. That's how weak they were. But, I mean, I've had all sorts of animals come through. I can't even count. I've lost count of how many animals we've had come through. But some animals, people would just drive down the road and just toss the animals out the car while they were driving.
Oh, yeah. I know all the stories. I mean, I know we're getting a little off topic, but it is a sad situation.
Mm-hmm.
We've adopted a little over 5,000, so got more stories I'd like to even think of, to be honest.
Yeah.
Bad and otherwise. So, but it is rewarding, though, when you do get them, when you are able to nurse them back to health, get them into a good home. It's always a good feeling. And we've had a few of those, too, that were beyond help, and we were able to nurse them back. And that's really a good feeling.
Yes, it really is. I mean, brings out the mama in you.
whether you're mama or not. But, we had a beagle that was in such bad shape you couldn't even tell what kind of dog it was. The mange was so bad. The dog was such, and now it looks like the healthiest little thing there is, and it, you know, got a wonderful home. And but that they were, in fact, we pulled it from the shelter because they weren't going to put it down, and it was in such bad shape, we didn't want to see it suffer through the weekend. But then with trying a little bit, it showed some signs of that it was going to be possible, and sure enough, recovered.
Mm-hmm. Now, what is one connection with animals that we can find with us?
One connection?
Mm-hmm.
They don't wear shoes?
Right. Yeah. Now, do they have any issues?
Their only issues are people. Kind of like us.
Now, I noticed that in the pet stores and everything, they started making shoes for animals.
Oh, God. It's the saddest thing to try to watch them walk in and do.
Uh-huh. I mean, they've got little designer styles. It's not just little socks that you put over their feet for in the snow or ice or anything. I mean, these are literally designer shoes.
Some people have pets and other people think they have little dress-up dolls. I don't really get that side of it. But
yeah, my daughter still dresses up all the animals.
Well,
the
when they're young, that's one thing. But when you see, I guess it's a subject I really shouldn't go down that road. But, it's just not my thing to do. I don't even like a collar on a cat, so...
Well, Lollipop, she wears her crown, and she will, her stance, everything just changes once my daughter puts her crown on her head. It's just, okay. She knows she is a queen. But one thing I've noticed, to chew on shoes. And I've told my husband, I said, the one good investment, I said, if you want to get a worthy chew toy for a dog, just go to a secondhand store and get them a used pair of shoes.
Yeah, but you're chewing on all that bacteria and nasty stuff that's been in there.
Yeah, and that's what I told him. But, I mean, one of the things that we were talking about and everything else, I said, that is one of the better investments whenever it comes to shoes. Because they're not going to be on my feet.
Right.
You know? But some of the chew toys now, if you go through the toy aisle on PetSmart, some of them resemble shoes. But how many dogs do you know that would prefer a pair of shoes over a chew toy?
Oh, yeah.
What is it about shoes? Why?
With a cat, you want to make them happy, throw a cardboard box on the floor.
Yep.
So,
and what is it? I mean, what is it about? And I told him, I said, I think the dogs are trying to tell us something.
Right.
Now, here, you don't need these. I'm going to destroy them for you.
Yeah, let me take care of this. This is a bad thing to have hanging around. I'll kill it for you.
I'm your protector. I have to protect you.
There's too many bad things living in here. Let me get rid of this.
Yeah, but one of the things that I noticed whenever you read scripture and everything is the reference to the sandal. It's never shoes or boots or anything. It's always sandals.
Right.
So historically, whenever you go through all these years, and it wasn't what until... what century? And shoes were pretty basic, you know, flat and everything else. And you get into the queens and everything, and then that's where they come in with the heels. Or most people don't realize that men, high heels were actually for men back in the day. And the higher the heel meant the more established you were in society, the more predominant figure you were. And then what was it, back in the 1950s? Is whenever they started commercializing shoes.
Yeah, they haven't stopped since.
And some of these shoes, I'm just like, people are so willing to break their leg or their ankle just to be able to have or to be able to wear these fashionable high heels.
Oh, of course.
But
yeah, it is. Seen some of the, you know, the pictures of people walking in them or something. It's really comical sometimes. I think there was a video this week or last week on the site where there's somebody walking across a parking lot. It looks like they're going to fall over any minute.
I see that a lot.
Going back to the places we've been, you know, like I said, places you had been, and it sounds like you didn't have any issues. I think you mentioned earlier that you even saw someone barefoot in one of the places you're at.
Yes, we went to Longhorn, and as I walked in, they were taking us to another side of the restaurant that I glanced over into what is considered the bar area, and there was a booth there. And there was a woman and a man. Man had on shoes, like sandals or what have you. But the woman was completely barefooted, and I did not see any shoes anywhere.
Yep,
so I was just like, I'm not the only one. My husband's kind of got used to me saying, huh?
Same, you couldn't have talked to her and see, you know, mention the site to her.
Yeah.
Maybe you'll see her again sometime.
No, it was just, they were having a good conversation, and I didn't want to interrupt. And then by the time everything, I was looking up, and they had walked out the door. So I was like, oh, okay. So I was like, okay. Maybe I'll run into them again later. Yeah.
We're not kicked out, and that's good.
But when I go to Barnes & Noble, I notice a few people that they'll have a table, and they'll have their bag or their shoes over by their table, but they're walking around Barnes & Noble barefooted. Then the library is another place that I commonly see people going barefooted.
Surprisingly, here in Jacksonville, Florida, you'd think you'd see, but I rarely ever see anyone barefooted. This week I've been, I didn't go out too much, but this morning we went to IHOP for breakfast. And I was in Lowe's, and I was in there quite a while, and actually was looking for something with one of the employees walking around, and there was no issues. Also went to Steak and Shake, Walmart, Hardee's, and Big Lots this week. And most of those are places that I've been in many, many times and have never had an issue. IHOP we've only recently started going, but it doesn't seem like there's any issue there. It just really surprises me. I would think down here in Florida you'd see some more people. And being in pet rescue, I'm literally in a big box pet store every Sunday for most of the day, and I rarely ever see anyone going in there anymore. So I'm hoping that changes soon. Good to hear you see it occasionally up there.
So. Well, I think if people would realize the connection that it has to their health, as far as...
That's exactly.
You know, the grounding. If people would just walk outside barefoot, say, 30 minutes a day, and connect with the grass and the ground and everything, then they would instantly see an improvement. It's just mind over matter, I think, for some level.
And the funny thing, you mentioned that with the health, the one lady that I have seen in the pet store a few times with her children, she has two boys, herself and her husband, and her husband's usually in like the Vibrance type shoes, and she's always barefoot, the kids are always barefoot. And I talked to her one day, and it started out that one of the kids who hated wearing shoes wanted to go barefoot all the time and actually did the research and went online and started showing her all the benefits. And she started letting them go barefoot, and then she started it herself, and now she goes barefoot with them everywhere, which I thought was quite amazing.
That is quite amazing.
They actually changed her mind, and now they're, like, the husband, I've only seen him in, like, I guess they've got to talk down to the point of just the wearing the Vibrance or something. But she's always barefoot, and the two boys are always barefoot.
Yeah. Well, we are typically always barefoot. I mean, if the pavement's too hot or something, then I really don't. Depending on how long I'm going to be on the pavement.
Yeah.
You know, but like with my husband, he's a little funny sometimes. Like if he works that day and we go out, you know, he just doesn't change clothes or what have you. He's still got his shoes on. But once his shoes come off, they're not going back on until he has to go back to work.
Yeah, usually that's the first thing to come off for me if they have to be on for any reason. I mean, as soon as I can get out of there, they're off. Mm-hmm.
And I'm constantly, it's like buying him shoes for work every 3 months. And these shoes that I got the last time, you know, they were supposed to be really good shoes, really durable, and they're Merrells. And they're supposed to be for the work that he does. He works on roller coasters, so he's, you know, he's slip resistant and everything.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I'm just like, it wasn't even too... brought over 2 months or so, and then I started seeing damage to his shoes. And I'm like, for as much as we paid for these shoes, they should be lasting you quite a while. And the only time he wears them is when he works.
Well, we've got to jump to an ad break. When we come back, we'll go ahead and pick back up. So we'll just run a couple ads, and then we'll be right back.
Okay.
All right.
Did you know most Americans know nothing or very little about the legal system? I am the Rose Colombo, longtime legal activist, legal coach, legal advocate, and the author of Fight Back Legal Abuse, Irwin Award winner, and also my latest political satire, Obamacare Dinosaurs, Rednecks, and Radicals, a political satire exposing the evil agendas of Obamacare and redistribution of wealth that leaves you with a thought-provoking ending. Will mankind survive, or will the U.S. natural-born citizen become extinct? It's available at Amazon.com. You can also visit my website at www.fightbacklegalabuse.com for more information. So order your copy today and empower yourself with knowledge before injustices come knocking on your back door unexpectedly.
Did you see this? The EPA wants to regulate water in our ditches now. Our ditches are dry most of the time. There's hardly ever any water in them. That's enough.
More the EPA with a brand new rule, they want to regulate us more. They've died before and we said no. Why should they control what doesn't flow? Agriculture is safe, that's what they say. It's what they always say. That's enough, can't take away anymore. That's enough, the EPA and the Corps. They will try to justify, but we won't back down. Don't need more government anyway. That's enough. Government anyway.
Tell the EPA it's time to ditch the rule. Ditchtherule.fb.org. This is a message from the Missouri Farm Bureau. Contact them at 573-893-1558.
Welcome back. Tony, we are back online, and you were talking about your husband and wearing out shoes. You mentioned that he worked on roller coasters. Is that at different parks or all in the same place? Or?
No, he works at the Busch Gardens in one specific park.
Does he ever see any of the guests go barefoot, or do they have any issues with him in the park?
Oh, no. The guests go barefoot a lot. They will even have lockers and stuff set up so that you can put your shoes and stuff in.
Well, that's good. I mean, I know for
some
of the rides.
And there's some rides.
Yeah.
Yeah, some rides they suggest that you take your shoes off unless they are completely tied and secured on your feet.
So are the lockers for the specific ride, or do they literally have lockers that people can put their shoes in and just...
They don't pick them up until they get ready to leave.
Wow. Because I know down here at Disney is very, and I've seen many, many posts about it, they're not very tolerant of bare feet. So it's good to hear that at least up there at Busch Gardens that, you know, people are not being harassed for it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have a Busch Gardens and we have a Water Country. And there's King's Dominion's not far down the road. It's a little bit further
right,
north.
Yeah.
And I don't know anything about them, but I do know that one of my sons likes to go there. And he will remove his shoes. And he hasn't said anything, so I suppose possibly I haven't bothered him either. So
good, good. You know, I lived in Maryland when I was younger and went to both King's Dominion and Busch Gardens. And to show my age, I think they were both fairly new parks at the time.
Yes. They just had their, what is it, this year that they had their 40th anniversary.
And that sounds about right. Definitely sounds about right.
Yeah, he went from the Air Force having to wear those bulky steel toes and everything where he worked in age and now working on roller coasters. It's the requirements aren't the same on the shoes, however. It's just hard to find a shoe that's made very well. And you would expect the more you pay for the shoe, the better quality will be, especially when up in the name and such. But it doesn't seem to be that way. So shoes have just become a market. You know, a profit. It's is not for your health.
No, that's for sure. Definitely not for your health.
Now, as I was researching online, there's something here that I found, and a person's response was, I personally find shoes to be very comfortable when I walk and run. However, I'm also known to wear shoes which are not comfortable and unhealthy, creating severe pain in my ankle. And then it goes on and everything. Pretty much what they're saying is they're willing and more than happy to sacrifice their health and comfort to be stylish and fashionable.
Oh, yeah. It'll be interesting how history looks back at some of these things. It's really comical when you think about it. And also pretty sad the danger it does to our health, the environment, you know, how many tons mm-hmm. go into landfills it fills every year. You know, I'm sure it's just, I've seen some statistics, but it's been a while. It was just, you know, astronomical numbers in the amount that it fills up landfills with. And again, I'm not one that says there's no purpose for them. There's times when they're a tool, just like gloves are a tool, just like
mm-hmm.
You're going to wear earplugs if you're in an area that's too loud, if you're working with around jet engines or something.
That's considered a protective gear.
And that's how a shoe, to me, that's how I view it, as a protective gear. But I also feel that most areas you don't need that protection. People are really, I think most people feel like they're going to be walking on glass and nails and needles and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is that's just not the case.
Yeah.
I truly believe that I have damaged my feet less than most people that wear shoes that constantly have rubbing issues or, you know, the problems they run into with bunions and
mm-hmm.
fungus and, you know, all of that.
Well, bunions and things can also be birth defects, but, you know, that's hereditary. However, in the process of wearing shoes, you're inflaming the bunion, which is causing
right.
it more damage than not
it
wearing
aggravates
shoes.
It.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. And a lot of the research that I've seen is areas that that they really don't wear shoes in, bunions are hardly ever considered an issue. So I think the shoe aggravating it causes most of the problem. But again, I really believe that I damage my feet a whole lot less than anyone that I'd be willing to take that bet, really, when I see this.
Mm-hmm. Well,
damage it.
In my circumstances, just to give one example of the journey that I've been on, we were at Lowe's back in Abilene, Texas in 2011. And the children, you know, quite a bit younger then, they're 11 and 12, the two youngest two are 11 and 12 now. The age then was considerably different, but I was allowing them to push the flatbed cart, which was a big mistake. They started racing with the flatbed.
Oh, Lord.
And took out my right foot. Anyway, so the doctor's sitting here addressing the issue, and he's really surprised. He's like, I'm really surprised your ankle's not shattered. So he's like, I don't know how you were able to avoid that damage kind of thing, but you have very minimal damage considering. And let's try to do this without surgery. And I was like, yes, preferably, because I don't want to have to do any scar tissue, because if you have surgeries on certain areas, then they have to go in periodically to remove the scar tissue. So it's not just a one-time surgery. And your feet and the ankle and the area that this would be, it would be one of those areas where it'd have the friction and the scar tissue would be aggravating and growing and everything, so that they would have to go in every so often to remove the scar tissue. So I'm like, well, let's try to do it without surgery. So we did that. And then they're trying to suggest shoes and everything else. I did use ankle braces. You know how you have the sports ankle braces and stuff. I did use those to help. But I found that it was more damaging and painful to actually wear the shoes than what it was to go barefooted. The more I wore the shoes, the more complications I had. So it was, I'm just like, I can't stand this. The pain was too much. I just took my shoes off. You're just going to have to deal with it. You know, I'm not putting my shoes back on. So come to find out, the longer I went without shoes, the more my ankle improved. But the more I went with shoes, the more my ankle was, you know, just working against everything. And it wasn't allowing it to heal. So going barefooted and then at the same time using some braces whenever I was in need of them. I didn't use them all the time, but only when I was in need of them. And now my foot is, you know, I mean, it's not perfectly healed yet. I can still tell that it was done, but for the most part, there is no issues whatsoever.
That's good. Now, let me ask this. Were you barefoot when they ran over your foot?
I believe I had on sandals.
Right. Which
I may have been barefoot, but which...
Yeah.
Yes, I did not have on tennis shoes or nothing.
People will make the argument about it being dangerous sometimes if you're barefoot in a place like Lowe's, but yet people are walking around with flip-flops and sandals, and it's not going to provide any type of protection against something like, you know, that cart.
Yes, and I honestly think that if I would have had tennis shoes on, my ankle probably would have been shattered. I think that if I would have had shoes on, because when the cart hit my foot, it came from behind, hit me in the back of the ankle. The shoe, if tennis shoes, would have caught the ground, the cart would have, you know, continued, and it would have caused some friction there, which my foot would have been in the process of gotten caught in a different position than what it did. But since my feet were free, so to say, that is what reduced the damage that could have possibly resulted. So I actually think me being down to, like, flat thong sandals, I mean, pure basic. I remember it was in July, and the ground in Texas was really hot, you know. So that was just about the only time I did wear shoes. But I honestly think that if I would have had tennis shoes on, my ankle would have been shattered. But the doctor said, he goes, I am very surprised that there's not more damage than what there is. So I think me not wearing shoes is what helped my ankle.
Well, I can believe that. Mine really started with the plantar fasciitis and doing the research. You know, everything pointed to wearing special shoes and operations and everything else, but then there was just a small amount of research out there that said, don't wear shoes. And it made sense. The logic made sense to me because of the way your foot acts as a shock absorber. So once I tried that, you know, it truly made a difference. In less than about a month, month and a half, I had zero pain where I was in excruciating pain for that.
Mm-hmm.
So I can definitely believe our bodies are amazing things, and
yes,
they will heal themselves. I'm not saying that we should not aid, you know, with you know, things that have been discovered by man, but for the most part, the body is pretty self-sufficient.
Yes, it is. I mean, there's times that we need to wear the shoes as protective gear, but for the most part, if it's not an endangerment, as far as working on a farm or being a contractor or with heavy machinery and such, then I mean, if it's a dress code, so to say, no open-toe shoes. Like, I've actually seen churches who have dress codes. There's no open-toe shoes allowed in their dress code.
Cool.
You're going to be sitting in a pew. Okay?
Yeah.
But, you know, as far as, you know, the safety feature of it for certain jobs or for certain situations, you know, shoes are a great benefit and can be very protective. But on the other hand, you know, my incident with Lowe's, and of course, no, I did not press any charges. It wasn't Lowe's that did it, it was my children. But I think that if I would have had shoes on, I would have had a lot more damage done to my foot. So I'm thankful that I did not have shoes on, and I suffered very minimal damage to the fact that I didn't. But I know lots of times that steel toes come in very handy, you know. So but whenever it comes to grounding and what some people call earthing, depending on how you want to get into it, God created our bodies from the earth. Adam and Eve were created from the dirt. Okay. We have electricity that flows in our bodies, and he created our bodies to heal itself. And people want to say, oh, well, there's a cure. We need to find a cure. We need to find a cure. God already created the cure. The cure for cancer is your body. The cure for autoimmune is your body. You just have to properly treat it, which is food and nutrition and things of his creation. And barefooting is one of those. Whenever you have the electrical flow, your body can detox the way it's supposed to. It can absorb the minerals and the electrons and everything from the ground that it's supposed to. But people have gotten away from that.
Yeah, and I honestly believe it's more than that as well. I mean, each one of us has 90 trillion microorganisms on or in us at any given time. And that's really an unfathomable number when you think about it. Not, you know, 90 trillion microorganisms. There's more DNA in us that's not as us than there is of us. And the reality is, if most of it wasn't there, we wouldn't be alive. I mean, these things have jobs and purposes and do things for us. And I also believe that when you're walking barefoot and you're on the ground, you know, there's an interaction that takes place between your body and the ground around you. You know, every function, organ in your body is connected through your feet. You know, why is that? I think it's more than just the, you know, the reflexology where, you know, somebody gives a massage and it's supposed to make those areas better. I think it's almost like in a car when you have a diagnostic tool that, you know, tells you the health of, you know, what's going on the different systems. When we're walking, I truly believe that there's information flowing back and forth between the earth and us. The Schumann theory, you know, the earth has a resonance, and it's the same resonance as our brain. You know, we both vibrate at the same frequency. Which to me is casting more than a coincidence. So I think it's even farther than just the electrical signals. It's definitely part of it. But
I was researching last night, just kind of flipping through things, and Mercola, I want to say it's Mercola, that. I would put it in the chat room, but for some reason, my chat room is not wanting to open on either of my computers today. So, anyway, the website, it was more New Agey than it was Christianly based. However, it had some really good information on it. I don't know if a lot of people know anything about colloidal silver. And there are other metal antibiotics out there also that you can make yourself or you can purchase with gold, copper, and stuff. That our body actually has particles of gold in it. You know, silver and everything, you know, yeah, it's a precious metal, but the way God created everything is just amazing. So people don't realize what their worth is. They want to look at a diamond and say, this is what the diamond's worth, but they don't want to look at themselves and say, this is how much I'm worth. Because they don't know their worth, but yet they'd rather just go ahead and succumb to society or the culture and forsake their health than understand their worth and how to preserve it. But one of the things that I noticed on there is some of the electrodes or connectivity devices that they were using looked a lot like TENS units. There is even a mattress that they made so that you can ground while you're sleeping. And it was created by these people who had studied and everything else, and they found that just grounding for 30 minutes a day outside barefooted improved their sleep, their mental stability, diabetes, cortisol, have you pronounced that, and so many other issues that, thyroids and everything. It was just a list of things that instant improvement within 24 hours.
Yeah, definitely sleeping has been one of the things that they always talk about with grounding as a benefit, that people notice that they sleep better when they're grounded. Another one, and a friend of mine actually tried it, which really amazed me, is the, I'm sorry, I got a... Got a call coming in, so I'm trying to reject it.
Okay, I was wondering if what I was hearing.
All
of a sudden, kind of sounded like a staticky phone.
Yeah. Right. But anyways,
hello,
you're still
Tony.
There, right, Tony?
Yes,
Tony, you're still there,
I'm still
right?
Here.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, yeah.
Do the
like
Verizon commercial. Can you hear me?
Can you hear me now? Yeah. But anyways, one of the things that I heard about grounding is that I had a friend of mine tried this and it really seemed to work for them, is that when people get jet lag, a lot of people blame it on the time changes. They went somewhere else and because of the difference in time, that's when you're going to get the jet lag. And it kind of seems to make sense. Mm-hmm. However, some of the theory is your body has lost touch in relationship to where it is with the earth. And the suggestion is that when you get off the plane, to take your shoes off and stand on the ground for like 30 minutes. And I had a friend that had the worst jet lag in the world. They hated flying because it really affected them. So I said, try this. They looked at me like I was crazy, of course, like most people do. And they tried it, and they were amazed. They didn't have jet lag. They took their shoes off for 30 minutes, and it's like their body rediscovered where it was in relation to the earth and didn't have any of the symptoms anymore.
Yeah. Now, I'd want to know how far David went up on Mount of Olives, for he walked up with his head covered and barefoot. Now, does he... Depending on where we are in elevation, does that have a point? Does that make a difference? People that live on mountains or what have you. Now, we used to travel a lot with being military, didn't live close to family or anything, so would have to travel. And I do not like airplanes. I do not like flying. I have done it, but I did not suffer like some other people have said or anything. But of course, I'm going to be comfortable. And even before I was an avid barefooter, my shoes did not stay on if they didn't have to be. So, and one of the things that I like to do is go sit underneath trees. So if I need a break, relax, or recollect, or just, then that's what I'm doing. I'm typically finding a tree and I'm going to sit in the grass underneath the tree. The traveling, as far as everything, I prefer to do road trips, prefer to drive, but I drive barefooted. And every so often, I would just stop. If there wasn't anywhere to stop at, then I'm just, you know, finding somewhere that's nice and peaceful. Excuse me. Excuse me. But every so often, you know, we'd just pull over, scenic route, or if there's, you know, history site or something, and we'd just walk around. And we were able to do drives, like, from North Dakota, Missouri, 27-hour drive. And I had no issues, not tired, not fatigued, not jet lags or anything. That people think jet lag is only whenever you fly in an airplane. But no, you can get jet lag whenever you travel also in a car. Especially if you don't have a co-driver to, you know, switch off with, and you know, you're doing the driving all on your own.
Right. But that also makes sense. You're still disconnected from the ground while you're driving. And if somebody has shoes on, they're still disconnected from the ground even when they get out. So the fact that you don't get those symptoms makes sense. But, yeah, my friend was really amazed. I mean, they came back, and that's all they could talk about for the longest time. They were going to try it, to be honest, because I just thought they, you know, looked at me like I had two heads. Where, you know, I didn't really like it, but.
Yeah, people like to look at me like I have five heads.
Yeah, but I think it was at a point where they were willing to try anything because it just was so agonizing for them when they traveled. And
yeah.
I talked to them since. It's been a while now, but ever since then, every single time, that's what they do, and they haven't had a problem since. So, you know, I think we're truly supposed to be in contact with the ground for a lot of reasons.
I mean, people, would, you know, they don't have to do it all the time. If they just do it for 30 minutes a day. And I don't like carpet.
Well,
I'm called a conspiracy theorist or anything, but, I mean, I'm called a lot of things. But I would prefer to have concrete in the house or tile than I would carpet or laminate corn. You know, I can tell a difference. I go barefoot all the time. And in Texas, I had concrete floors, and I loved them. So much easier to clean. And then, you know, people thought, oh, well, you have concrete floors, you know, you wear your shoes in your house. No, I don't. Sorry. You know, shoes not in my house, even with concrete floors. And, but I let the kids, you know, ride the little trikes, you know, through the house if it was open and picked up, nothing for them to run into. But no shoes. Anyway,
yeah.
I think carpet, you know, is a divider as far as the connectivity. So if you don't have a two-story house, if you're on the main level of the ground, on concrete, you still get some connectivity.
Yeah, concrete is still connected to the ground. We're coming up at the half-hour point, so we're going to have to go to a commercial break, and we can come back and pick right up on the carpet. So I'm going to go ahead and put on an ad for us.
Yeah. video all the way through, you will be surprised. What a great job. What a great message. And then please share this video with others. An important message from our new generation.
Get ready for the epic new documentary adventure ride of your life. Shades, the motion picture. A view into the globalist domain. An Embellus and Burmese film.
Nothing in this world works the way you think it does. Nothing. Governments do not operate the way you think they do. Banks do not do what you think they do. The police department is not here for what you think it is. Nothing in your world works the way you think it does.
We are going to let them know that the world government has been identified, and they thought they just cloned the world economy to bring in a worldwide police state, but instead it's going to bring them down.
You have to stand up. Speak up. Speak out.
Shade the motion picture. Order your copy of the DVD today at shadethemotionpicture.com.
And we're back. Tony, when we left, we were talking about carpet. And
mm-hmm.
I have to agree with you. That's a surface I don't care for myself. We have it in two rooms, but it's going to be phased out. I'm going to be getting rid of it at some point here, hopefully in the near future. The rest of our
mm-hmm.
house is wood floor.
Okay. Well, I think wood and tile floors are good because they're still composites from the earth. Laminate is pretty much particles just glued together, and there's so much chemical in the glues that it takes away from the benefits of the natural product. Now, carpet is typically made of fabrics and stuff that are polyester and petroleum and such, and they also harbor a lot of bacteria and everything in them. So whenever we are walking barefoot on them, I mean, of course, I don't have any studies, so don't do the research and everything. I'm just using my own analysis, and I like to overanalyze everything. But my idea is, you know how carpet holds on to germs and to allergens and everything else, and then, you know, it's just, to me, it's just overall just unclean, unhealthy. And then whenever you add that to where your feet are in constant contact with that, you know, on what we're absorbing through that or picking up the bad things from the carpet. I like to take colloidal silver. I get the 500 ppm colloidal silver. Get me a spray bottle, put a few drops in there, and then I spray that over my carpet. And I can tell a difference. Not just on the allergens and everything else, but I can tell a difference in the way I feel. Now, I also use, if I'm pronouncing it right, is diamectaceous, and I can't even say it. So, but it's DE. Is DE food grade is the one I use. You can get it from a co-op store. Diamectaceous earth, or I'm not even going to try to butcher that word again. So, anyway, that is a mineral found in certain areas where the earth is just composited down, but it has all the minerals and everything in it that is good. We use it for so many different things, but to kind of level everything out, I use the colloidal silver spray and then DE. And I can tell a difference from everything. But, you know, so like, you know, the two-story houses, I'd rather have tile because that way you're still connected because tile is made from clay and product of the ground. Wood, of course, is made from trees. And whenever children are learning how to walk, you know, their bones are not fully developed yet. And when people want to put shoes on their children, that they don't want to look at the overall aspect of it. Now, my children learned how to walk early, but they also were barefooted. Now, I've noticed other people, when they have these shoes, whatever style of shoes, their children struggle on learning how to walk. And then if you watch children run, if they're running barefoot, they run naturally. But if they're running with shoes on, they run with a struggle. Now,
there's an article I was reading the other night, and then, and one of the things in there says we were not born broken. You know, it's just, so how did we get broken?
That's very true, and it is funny. I've actually noticed from going barefoot so long, and that I've actually been able to notice that somebody was walking barefoot even before I saw their feet, because they were just lighter on their feet, just the way they were walking. There's just a certain way about it. It's, I don't want to use the word better, but you could just tell that it's somebody that's more comfortable walking, and it's they're not, you know, being dragged down by weight and odd configuration of shoving something on your feet. But many times I've noticed that I'll see somebody walking in a crowd and I can actually pick out that they're barefoot.
Yeah.
Occasionally it's they're in occasionally they're in, you know, like a very minimalist, but it's probably somebody that's used to that as well. You know, but
well, I think it's, you know, it totally helps our physical alignment. You know, you have the alignment
does.
in your body. You know, if you talk to a chiropractor, he can explain all this to you. But another thing that I found the other night was the list of barefoot chiropractors or chiropractors that suggest going barefoot.
I'm sorry, what was that? I was pulled away for a second.
Oh, that's fine. But I had noticed the numbers of barefoot chiropractors or the chiropractors who are suggesting barefooting.
Definitely.
You know, so chiropractors, the ones that have to deal with your alignment, and they're suggesting to you to go barefoot more often, then, you know, there's definitely something there that most people consider chiropractors to be wackos or what have you, but that's how society has programmed them to think of them. You know, I've been going to a chiropractor since I was 4 years old. But, you know, I have an S-curve, which I used to have a lot of issues out of my scoliosis. And then with the MS, when I developed the multiple sclerosis, and then that developed into progressive relapsing multiple sclerosis. But now I am off of all medications for my Crohn's disease, for the ventricular tachycardia, neuropathy, neuralgia, all these other things that consisted of what I call, and the doctors, a few of my doctors have called medically induced issues. So when you look at it overall, when you know how the body was created, and we don't know everything about how the body created, but we know that food is meant to be our medicine. There's this connectivity with the ground and everything else that when you separate your feet, even chiropractors know that you're messing up your body. Not just your immune system or anything else, but you're messing up your bone structure, your joints, and everything. I mean, it has so much effect from your feet up to the electrodes and everything that happened in your brain. So I just don't understand why is it so overlooked or just pushed aside. People want answers, yet they're not willing to actually accept because, oh, how dare we think about going without shoes?
Well, that's definitely something that's been ingrained into us, and I went ahead and on the chat for Freedomizer, I went ahead and shared the link that you provided on barefoot running and chiropractic, where it goes into talking about the latest craze in running is new barefoot movement, which seems to have been largely inspired by Christopher McDougall's the book Born to Run, McDougall. But to us, CRISPRs, the barefoot movement is nothing revolutionary. It's simply the world beginning to catch up with the philosophy that chiropractors have been teaching their community for over centuries. And it goes on to talk about, in there it says that, question, why do my feet hurt? And the answer was because you run, sports medicine. But for McDougall, that was difficult to understand because, you know, he had heard about the I'm probably destroying words as well, indigenous people that lived on the Copper Canyons of New Mexico were avid runners who run 100 miles in the rugged terrain of the canyons with nothing but flimsy hurricane sandals was ordinary. Yet they had none of the athletic injuries. So, you know, as he's saying here in this article, you know, it's nothing new to chiropractor. They agree that, you know, barefoot is definitely better, or in that case, that, you know, a sandal that's just really a very thin protective layer.
Yeah. Now, also, whenever you look into alternative medicine doctors, I notice on a lot, just I don't know how many as far as the percentage or whatever, but they also suggest going barefoot. But most people are so, you know, oh, I need to go get some pain medicine, or I need to go get some antibiotics. You know, God created the best antibiotics to actually work as a probiotic, which keeps the good bacteria while it battles the bad bacteria that's making you sick. And the same aspect
right.
can be found outside. Now, you know that children today are sick all the time, which, you know, I contribute that to environmental toxins, to vaccines, pharmaceuticals, and everything else. But how many kids today do you see go play outside? I mean, we are a sick generation. But with all the wisdom and the knowledge and technology that we have, we shouldn't be this dumb, and we shouldn't be this sick. We should be the healthiest and the most knowledgeable generation, but instead we are the complete opposite. Okay? But there have been studies, if you go into researching like unschooling or natural mamas and stuff like that, and the studies actually show that the kids who spend more time outside, their immune systems are better, their bone structure are better, they do not suffer the injuries that other children do. Their mental status and everything is just overall better. So what's the difference? Going outside barefooted and playing just like kids are supposed to do.
Well, that's the thing. Our bodies are meant to sample the environment around us and, you know, be prepared to accept or fight off anything that it needs to, but it can't do that if it hasn't had any exposure to it. I used to have the worst allergies my entire life, terrible, terrible allergies growing up, and I have none now. I have zero now.
Me either. My allergies are so bad they destroyed my the bone on my top teeth. I mean, I have damage, bone structure damage and everything. My allergies were so bad. But I haven't had that issue. I have an occasional sneeze.
Yeah.
I have occasional drainage. But it is nothing compared to what it used to be. Because my face used to swell up. I mean, severely, just completely swell up. Just to do allergies, you know, with the weather changing.
I was miserable. I was miserable all the time. And I think between going barefoot and also my exposure to animals with pet rescue as another thing, I think it's pretty much my body. You know, when you have allergies, it's not something outside that's giving you all of those symptoms. It's your body fighting off something it thinks it needs to because it hasn't.
I mean, it's the same concept whenever it comes to some of these other issues like diseases and such. Your body does not know how to properly fight it off.
Right. So, you know, once your body learns and is able to accept or handle it, it's not a problem anymore. And, like I said, most of my younger life, even into mid-adult life, I was miserable all the time, especially, you know. And I truly believe that between going barefoot and the animal rescue as well, that it's, I've exposed myself to a lot more than most people normally would.
Yes. So, now, I mean, we got to think about things. I mean, if you compare the issues that we have today to just 10 years ago, you see an increase of so much. And it's not just a double. I mean, in most cases, it is significantly higher. Okay? Just 10 years. Now, if we go back 20 years, or what about 50 years or 100 years? I mean, it's just a huge, it's like off the map huge of an increase. But what's the difference? What happened? Now, people want to say, we need to increase this, we need to find a vaccine for this, or we need to find a medicine for this. Okay, why? Did God neglect or overlook something when he created everything? I don't think so.
Yeah. Tony, I noticed we have a caller. Let me reach out. Hold on one moment. Hi, this is John. I apologize for having you out there on hold. How are you doing today?
Hello? Are you there?
Hello? Hello, is there anyone there?
Can you hear me? Can you hear me calling? Anyway, sorry, caller, if you would want to call back in.
Yeah, I apologize.
But overall, I mean, God did not neglect us. He did not forsake us. Man got away from it. And now we want to look and point fingers and blame, but we don't want to acknowledge the fault. You know? So if you look at peanut allergies and the increase, it's just like, okay, where did this come in? So in order to figure out a solution, you got to know where it comes from. Just like when a house is, you know, caught fire, the firemen want to go in and they want to find the source of the fire. They want to know where it started, what caused the fire. So the same thing with us. Where did it come from? What caused it? We were not born broken, but along the way, we became broken. Okay, so where did this happen? But when people start analyzing and opening up, they find the connection and they can actually reverse everything. Like doctors say that your myelin sheath on your spine, there's no repair once it's on. Well, I did not have a myelin sheath on my spine in 2005. Okay, and then I just had spots of sheath. Okay, now I have a full coating of sheath to reverse. It was impossible to repair. Guess what? I have the MRIs, I have all the documents and everything to prove that I was able to reverse the damage. My lesions and my scar tissue on my brain are gone. I have the proof of where they started. They were growing, they were very active, and now there's very minimal scar tissue. Doctors can't explain this. So,
well, I go back to, you know, we talk about, I mentioned earlier, 90 trillion microorganisms on or in us at any given time. Why are they there?
Yes.
To me, they're little micro machines. They're there.
Well, I mean, you know how many bugs that we have living on our eyelashes? I mean, people don't realize this, but we have bugs that live on our eyelashes, and they have a job to do.
Yeah. And the thing is, we call them bugs, but I go back to the thing. I look at them as micro machines. They're there to do a purpose.
Yes.
They have a purpose. And I also believe that all of the, you know, the germs and bacteria, as we call them, you know, most of it's good things that are there for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just there's actually, you know, in the dirt, I read an article not that long ago that in the dirt, there's actually microorganisms that give you the same effect as Prozac, only without any side effects. It's actually makes
yeah.
you happy.
And there's plants that do it also. I mean, there's plants and there's oils. Like sniffing rosemary, as simple as sniffing rosemary can increase your memory.
Well, I better get a lot of rosemary then.
But I mean, it's just amazing how things work. But yeah, we have things that live on our skin. They have a job to do. And when you use antibacterial soap, then you're ripping those off. And then, people that use hand sanitizer all the time. It's just like, that you have good things on your hand that you need. You don't need to strip all the good stuff off.
I encourage anyone to just do a little bit of research on hand sanitizer and how they're discovering how bad it is for you. And they're actually trying to legalize to make it illegal to sell in some places because they're seeing the damage it's doing. We have a very basic belief that, you know, we have to be, quote, clean by removing everything. And the things that we're removing are, you know, things that need to be there. It's not a good plan. And
I mean, just imagine, the difference from back then. When they didn't use soap, they used oil. A lot of people don't notice this, but back in the day, early church days, or however you want to consider them, they didn't use soap, but they used oil, and that's how they cleansed themselves. Now, if anyone's into oils, they know exactly how healthy these oils can be for you. But not only healthy for you, but you know that you have these oils that you can use on your feet. So, like, if a kid has a headache, you can take peppermint oil, put it on their foot, on the sole of their foot, and it will relieve their headache.
Not surprised. Again, everything's connected. We are actually coming up near the end of our show. We always like to end a few minutes early. So, Tony, I appreciate you being here, and we'll be back again next week. And
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. I did as well. And I hope our listeners or those who listen to this will. And we will be here the same time next week again. We have some, you mentioned the Mercola group earlier. We have some information on that we could probably start off with next week. And
If anyone has any information or anything that they would like for us to touch on, if you would get that to us and possibly work it into next week's show.
Please. Or if you'd like to be a guest on the show, we are always looking for guests. Looking forward to doing that. So, you're more than welcome. We'd love to hear your story. So please reach out to us, and we'll be glad to have you on next week. But if next week doesn't work, that's another time in the future. But for this week, we're going to go ahead and sign off. And again, I thank everyone for listening. Tony, I thank you. And,
thank you.
We will definitely get together and plan for next week. And
right,
enjoy
good.
The rest of the week. Thank
you.
Too,
and I hope everyone has a blessed week.
Thank you all, and talk to you all next week. Bye.